Dear Cappy and Connie, other family and friends and brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As some of you know, I did not personally know Christina or Chris, whom the Lord called from this world a little more than 1 year before I was called to serve Pilgrim Lutheran Church in Kilgore. But I did know Harold. And I knew that since Chris's death, Harold seemed to be waiting, at least in some sense, for the Lord to call him to join her in the Lord's eternal presence. Just recently, Harold and I had discussed that waiting for the Lord, and so it seemed appropriate for us in the next few minutes to reflect on God's word under the theme, waiting for the Lord. Waiting for the Lord is the theme more obviously in the psalm that we read and in the section from Romans, though the theme waiting for the Lord is also evident in the reading from St. John's Gospel account. The psalmist says, for example, that he waits for the Lord more than a watchman waits for the morning, when darkness is light and the risk of attack from one's enemies is less. For the Romans, St. Paul contrasts the suffering of this present world to the glory of the new world. And he says that one lives out righteousness as one is saved in hope, who waits patiently. And as St. John records Jesus speaking, both those who die in this world before his return and those who are living when he returns, in some sense, wait for the resurrection and eternal life in glorified bodies. So we realize that waiting is not just killing time doing nothing or passing the time idly, but waiting is a theological hope focused on a goal, an eager and confident expectation of the end and all that God promises that end will bring. For example, the Bible uses the same term of a hired hand waiting or looking for his wages. No doubt Harold appreciated such waiting for wages. He worked as a tradesman, a cement finisher, and a member of the Masons Union, ending his career, he told me years ago, with office work for that union. As a Christian, of course, Harold knew that the wages of sin is death. And when I would come to see him a couple times most months, he generally would confess his sins. For people in his circumstances, such sins as depression are especially common. But sin in general is common to all people. As we heard St. Paul tell the Romans, the creation was subjected to futility because the first man listened to his wife and ate of the tree that God had forbidden. And ever since, we all have suffered under that original sin and the resulting actual sins, sickness and death. When people feel that their existence or life is called into question, they wisely reflect on the prospects and hopes of human life. And biblical waiting is what God intends to come with and by his Holy Spirit as we have that reflection, that waiting. The Psalms, the other wisdom writings, and the prophets, especially as they are influenced by the Psalms and other wisdom writings, make that clear. God changes our hearts from being like the concrete that Harold knew so well to being hearts of flesh. Particularly when God might appear to be hiding his face, withholding his blessings, and in times of judgment, we nevertheless wait for the Lord. We turn in sorrow from our sin. We trust God to forgive our sin, and we want to do better than to keep on sinning. When we so repent, then God forgives our sin. God forgives our sinful nature and all our sin for Jesus' sake. Harold and Chris joined Pilgrim Lutheran Church 22 years ago this very day. And people in the congregation have fond memories of them from over those 22 years, remembering, for example, where they sat in the divine service, how sharply styled Chris always was, and Harold's involvement in the breakfast the men served on Easter. Even in the few years that I knew Harold, primarily shut in at his home or at a care facility, he continued to take an interest in how things at Pilgrim were going, especially that breakfast. How appropriate for Harold, who was waiting for the Lord, to take so much joy in something related to Easter. In a sense, Harold was like the Old Testament saints who waited, endured their suffering patiently, in the confident hope that God would act decisively for their salvation. And act decisively, God did. Out of his great love for Harold, for you, and for me, God sent his Son to be born of the Virgin Mary, suffer under Pontius Pilate, be crucified, die, and be buried, all in order to save us from our sins. As the people waited, God's suffering servant showed his power in weakness. Jesus' death on the cross conquered sin, death, and the power of the devil for you, for me, for Harold, and for Chris. Jesus' resurrection showed that God the Father accepted Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. When we repent and believe, then God forgives our sin. As the psalm put it, we wait for the Lord, our soul waits, and in his word we hope. And as Paul put it to the Romans, in this hope we are saved. We hope, wait with patience for what we do not yet see, although some aspects of our salvation we do see. Cappy and Connie, I especially appreciated your descriptions of Harold as a loving dad who made you the center of his life and who shared sensitive, special moments with you. His adoption of you as his daughters reflects God's adoption of us as his children. God adopted us as his children in holy baptism, when God, through water that we can see, combined with his word, worked forgiveness of sins, rescued us from death and the devil, and gave eternal salvation to all who believe. So, given the Holy Spirit in baptism, we eagerly wait for the completion of God's plans. As we wait for that revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ on the last day, we are not lacking any gift. God forgives our sin individually in holy absolution, like that holy absolution I regularly shared with Harold in a rite that we can see. And in the sacrament of the altar, God gives us Jesus' real physical body and blood in bread and wine that we can see, body and blood given and shed for the forgiveness of sins, and so also for life and salvation. In that sacrament, we commune not only with Jesus, but also with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, including those who have gone before us in the faith. What a great way to stay connected with our loved ones who even now are living in God's eternal presence. Harold told me how he played football and ran track, and so I am sure he understood something about endurance. As he steadfastly waited, sometimes more or less patiently, he confessed his faith in a very meaningful way. Whether or not we saw it, in waiting, his strength was renewed. Waiting for the Lord, he was strong and took courage. And we can too. As St. Paul said to the Romans, we who believe have the first fruits of the Spirit, and we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the full and complete redemption of our bodies with its final purging of our sinful natures. Until then, with daily repentance and faith, we live in the forgiveness of sins from God and for each other. To some extent, as the girls put it, the light in Harold's eyes may have gone out when Chris passed from this world to the next, but their souls are now together again before the Lord, even as their remains this day are interred together. We may grieve them, but not as those who have no hope. On the last day, they, with all creation, will be restored, set free from bondage to decay, and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Then, with resurrected and glorified bodies, sight will replace faith. Then, they and all those who have waited for the Lord with repentance and faith will be fully glad and rejoice in him and in his salvation. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.